This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. Baby shower friends search for a missing mom, just 28. This as damning police body cam emerges. Good evening. I'm Nancy Grace. This is Crime Stories, and I want to thank you for being with us.
Mamta is an incredibly dedicated person. Being a nurse was her absolute dream, and she was completely committed to it.
You don't become a NICU nurse without being a very, very dedicated nurse.
Could somebody explain why Mamta's friends from her baby shower have to go out searching for her? Where's the husband? Where are the police? Where are the search teams, the canines, the drones, the divers? Why is it that women, friends at her baby shower, have to take to the streets, the woods, the forest to try to find Mamta? But this as damning police body cam video emerges as we scour the latest for DNA. I don't understand why these ladies who were serving punch and pedophores one day are out tromping through ditches the next day looking for a missing mom just 28 years old. If you know or think you know anything about missing mom, Mamta Bhatt, 703-361-1136. With me, an all-star panel to make sense of what we know right now. But as the moms have been out searching for their friend Mamta, we learn that damning body cam video has emerged of the husband. Now, defense attorneys will argue it's not damning at all. Everyone reacts differently when they're confused and upset. Well, I don't know if a jury would disagree with that. Listen to this body cam video.
Hello, sir. How are you? I'm Officer of the team in Nassau Park, please. We're looking for Miss Mamta Kafle.
Yeah, she, on Wednesday, she left and then she says she's going to go either New York or Texas and then she left, she had the phone and then she destroyed that phone and then she left.
What? Whoa, whoa, wait. Did the husband just say she destroyed her phone and then left? Joining me, an all-star panel to make sense of what we're hearing right now. But who in their right mind destroys their phone, then leaves their baby? Straight out to a very dear friend of Mamta's, who has formed a GoFundMe for her, Nadia Navarro. Nadia, thank you for being with us. Nadia, does that sound like Mamta to you? This highly organized, highly responsible NICU nurse. I mean, they don't put just anybody that falls off the turnip truck in the NICU dealing with babies who could lose their life at any moment. Does that sound like Mamta to you? I want you to listen to him one more time, Nadia. Listen to the husband.
Even like she was 5 months, she left for like 2 weeks. We never know. And then one of friend tell me like somewhere in Falster. And then after that, at that time, she has a laptop over here. In my laptop, her email was on. And then I see Uber was there. She did the Uber, and then I went to the nearby the building, and then I saw her, you know, like at the building, because you know I worked for her, like, you know, work time. I see her there.
So she destroys her phone and takes off in an Uber. That doesn't make any sense. What about the claim she destroyed her phone, Nadia?
Every word out of his mouth is an absolute lie, and she couldn't have left anyways without her phone because she didn't drive. How is she going to get an Uber to leave anyways?
Dave Mack joining me, CrimeOnline.com investigative reporter. That is very reminiscent of Brian Walsh. Remember him? He says his wife disappears on New Year's Day, that he saw her getting into an Uber to go to the airport, and that was that. Never saw her again. And to this day, she hasn't been seen or heard from again. Remember Brian Walsh and Anna Walsh? They had little children too, and mommy just leaves it in Uber and is never seen again, Dave Mack.
Makes no sense to me. As you know, her employer is the one that actually called and asked police, hey, would you mind checking on her? Brian Walsh tells a story that doesn't make any sense whatsoever, and it's totally verifiable, Nancy. It's not like you can't find out what rideshare service came by and picked her up, which, well, we can't find that. So his story, it's parallel to Naresh Bhatt.
You know, I'm just thinking about it, to Nadia Navarro claiming that she, I guess, had some kind of an angry fit and destroyed her cell phone and then took off. I mean, what was your experience with Momta? Does that sound like her?
No, absolutely, absolutely not. I think it's just the classic, she's crazy, and the police officers bought it immediately. They didn't question it. They didn't ask to see the smashed cell phone. They were just completely on board. Oh, okay, sure.
Well, you know, you really just struck a chord with me, Nadia, because I've heard that over and over and over. She's crazy. She's hysterical. She's wigging out. She's losing it. And true to form, listen to this body cam, Nadia.
One another thing, she has some mental issue as well. See, the nurse problem is there. Because, you know, if I say something with the nurse, who know more? I say, you know more. You know, like, I say a lot of stuff. You know, I told her, like, multiple times, let's go to the psychiatrist, you know, like, do something. She said, like, no, I'm okay. I know, you know, my stuff. I'm a registered nurse, you know.
Okay.
Okay, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Play that one more time for me, control room, because at the beginning, listen carefully, he says, oh yeah, she crazy. One more thing, she's got some mental issues. She's a nurse. Problem is there, you know, if I say something, who's the nurse? Who knows more, her or me? I say a lot of stuff. I told her multiple times, let's go to the psychiatrist. And she says, oh, I'm okay. I know my stuff. I'm a registered nurse. Okay, listen to him.
One another thing, she has some mental issue as well. See, the nurse problem is there. Because, you know, if I say something with the nurse, who know more? I say, you know more. You know, like, I say a lot of stuff. You know, I told her, like, multiple times, let's go to the psychiatrist, you know, like, do something. She said, like, no, I'm okay. I know, you know, my stuff. I'm a registered nurse, you know.
Okay.
I can hardly stand to look at this man. Let me go to a shrink really quickly. Dr. John Delatorre is with me, licensed psychologist, mediator, and he specializes in forensic psychology. You know, you have a lot of degrees and a lot of experience, but I really don't know if you're qualified to answer this one. Why is it when the woman disappears, she's crazy, she's hysterical, she's got mental problems, and then she ends up dead? Did you see him fix his mouth to say, oh, she got mental problems, she got mental issues, but she's a nurse, nobody would believe me? And he said, honey, let's go to a psychiatrist.
It's a tale as old as time, Nancy. But to be honest, this is the kind of thing that a lot of men try to use because they think other men are going to believe them, that all of a sudden we have this hysterical woman who doesn't know what she's doing, who won't listen to reason because men are always logical and reasonable. I mean, it's pretty clear that this is just an excuse that he's using, that he's heard other men use, and other men expect to just believe just because it's a man saying that a woman is crazy.
Joining me, not only Wendy Patrick, but Tammy Ballard, crime scene consultant, crime scene investigation, reconstruction. She's law enforcement liaison with our friends at Othram Labs, Inc., you know, the specialists that crack all the cases with DNA. Tammy Ballard, are you sick up to here with she's crazy? I mean, I've heard it so many times.
This one, I think he's just throwing everything out there from that. They started out with she's crazy and then just progresses from there. So I just.
And you know what? I'm glad you said that, Tammy. That's the great thing, Brian Fitzgibbons, joining me, Director of Operations USPA Nationwide Security, specializing in finding missing people. Brian, don't you just love body cams? Because they catch sometimes a suspect, sometimes the perp, sometimes a witness, and all sorts of inconsistencies.
Absolutely. This is great video to analyze because here we have Naresh giving a timeline right? When he last saw Mamta, what her last behaviors were and when. And these can highlight later inconsistencies in his defense. This is huge for investigators to line up the actual timeline of some of the physical evidence and digital evidence.
Look at him. I just want to just snap his head off. So calm, so cool, talking about, yeah, she's crazy. Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
Hello, sir. How are you? I'm Officer Tim in Aspark, please. We're looking for Miss Mamta Kafle.
Yeah, Wednesday, she left, and then she says she's going to go either New York or Texas, and then she left, she had the phone, and then she destroyed that phone, and then she left.
Boy, that narrows it down. Maybe she's in New York, or maybe she's in Texas. Okay, Nadia Navarro, you're a very dear friend of Mamta's. Have you ever known her to leave her child?
No, absolutely not. No.
Would she just take off and go to, let's see, New York or Texas, leaving baby Nima behind?
No, and we know that it's impossible for her to even have done it if she wanted to, because she had no access to funds at all.
Now, listen to this. I've dissected this body cam. Guys, we have just gotten our mitts on body cam video of Mamta's husband. And there's, in my mind, it's just so sinister the way he is standing there spinning all this out about Mamta while holding the baby that she prized above all else. Now, here's his story spinning out. He just said, oh, she decided to go to New York, or maybe it was Texas. Not really sure about that. But listen.
Even like she was 5 months, you left for like 2 weeks. We never know. And then one of friend tell me like somewhere in Falsett. And then after that, at that time, she had a laptop over here. In my laptop, her email was on. And then I see Uber was there. She did the Uber. And then I went to the nearby the building. And then I saw her, you know, like at the building, because, you know, I work for her, like, you know, work time. I see her there.
Okay, did you hear that? Nadia, he's saying she left for 3 weeks one time. Have you ever known her to be gone 3 weeks, or is that just a big lie?
It's a lie. She has left before, but it was for a week, and she took the baby with her.
Guys, You're hearing all the discrepancies of where in this one body cam he is all over the map. Let me go straight out to Wendy Patrick joining us, high-profile lawyer, prosecutor, president, founder, Black Swan Verdicts, and author of Reading People, How to Understand People and Predict Their Behavior Anytime, Anyplace. She's also the star of Today with Dr. Wendy on KCBQ. Wendy, it's that old phrase, if you give somebody enough rope, they'll hang themselves. Hasn't anybody heard about the Fifth Amendment? Don't they see TV and realize the more you talk, the more you dig your own grave with your own teeth as you talk?
You know, and it's more than talking that body picks up. And that is so telling with this particular video. I mean, when you look at the demeanor can be damning, especially when you're talking about something as serious as a missing wife holding your toddler. Not just a missing wife, but a missing wife that really was a creature of habit. She went to work every day. She took care of her family. She apparently, according to one of her good friends, Nadia, thank you for joining us, was inseparable with the toddler, would never have left the toddler, would not have destroyed a phone. So when you're trying to explain this on camera to the police, whatever comes out of your mouth is not only going to be analyzed via the words, but also the way you said it. And in footage like this, this is definitely something that has a lot more potential for helping to solve this.
Okay, I want to speak to Nadia Navarro. Nadia, a very dear friend of Mamta's, could you recount the very brief trip you took with Mamta? You were going to a specialty spice store, as I recall.
Yes.
You telling
yes,
me.
Yes, we were.
What happened?
We never made it there. We never made it there because Naresh called and he said, turn around. That's too far from the apartment. I said, it's only 15 minutes. And he said, she needs to go back. She needs to be studying. And I said, no. And he started screaming. And after that, Mamta asked me to go back. And I went back because she asked me to.
Okay, wait. I'm not understanding this. So you were driving Mamta where?
To buy spices from India Bazaar.
Why?
Because she taught me to cook. She was teaching me how to cook some of her special recipes. We had run out. And I thought that she would really enjoy seeing something that reminded her of home.
What special recipe?
It was a curry dish with a bunch of other spices in it. It was really good. I mean, we eventually did get to cooking, but different day.
You may wonder why I'm asking these details, Nadia Navarro. And the reason is not that I disbelieve you in any way. I do believe you. Whenever I question a witness or a guest, I look for details that can assure me that person's telling the truth. Okay, you'd be surprised. I mean, you're looking at the husband, how people go blank. They have to fabricate a story. They can't immediately say it was a curry dish. It was really good. They can't give me that kind of detail. Why? Because they're making it up. So, Nadia Navarro, you take her to an Indian spice market. Because you think it will remind her of home, and she's teaching you how to make a special dish. During that trip, which would have only been 15 minutes away from the family home, how many times did her husband call you?
Probably three, and I didn't want to pick up, but she said we should pick up because we don't want to make him mad. And I was like, I don't care about making him mad.
But you picked it up to make her happy?
Yes, eventually. Yeah.
Why didn't you want to pick up the phone when you saw it's him?
Because I had gotten really tired of him calling me. And Mamta, he didn't let her have a phone at the time. I wasn't aware that he wasn't letting her have a phone. He just told me they couldn't
afford. Whoa, wait. He wouldn't let her have a phone?
No. That's why he was calling me.
Okay, then what is he talking about? She destroyed her cell phone. Did she ever get a phone?
She did, because I had stopped picking up every time. And he got frustrated eventually and said I was a bad person. And he got her a phone.
So when in this trip did he start screaming into the phone?
As soon as I said no, that I didn't want to turn around and go back.
Did you ever make it to the spice market 15 minutes away?
Not with Mamta. I went back later on my own.
How did she act when she could see him calling over and over and when he started screaming into the phone that she was gone too long?
She apologized and I said, that's not normal. And she said, that he was worried for her. It was her first time in the United States, and he was apart from her, and that she trusted him, and she knew that he wanted the very best for her, and she didn't want to make him worry.
Worry about going to the spice market? The gender reveal had already happened. They knew they were having a baby girl.
Nothing was going to stop her.
I think sometimes that the harsh reality and the dichotomy of that moment, could I see that moment where they're having the baby shower and they look so happy together? The husband clearly in love with his wife, with his hands on her tummy. He was kissing her tummy, and they looked so happy together. Nadia Navarro questioned, did he, the husband, come to the baby shower?
Yeah, he was there.
And how did they seem? Because in the photos, they look so happy.
Yeah, they seemed fine. More focused on the party. There were so many people there, and there were actually like a lot of men there, like a lot of other dads there and children. And so he was with them mostly.
Guys, in the last days, damning body cam video has emerged. Now, when I say damning, there's not a confession in this, but if you analyze what the husband is saying, the inconsistencies are glaring. Listen.
She lost, you know, maybe she say like, you know, last time, even like, you know, she written down, and then she say like, okay, you know, I'm not gonna, you know, I'm gonna disappear for 6 months, make a different address, and then after that, you know, we will separate this and that. So I don't know, like, I'm kind of...
Okay, well, if she does end up missing, just call us back. It would be a good idea to contact people that you know that knows her,
yeah.
All right, to make sure she's not actually missing.
Okay, what? Are the police actually buying this, apparently? Because they say, well, okay, if she doesn't show up, just call us back. What? Number one, he didn't call to start with. He's not the one that reported her missing. Am I right about that, Dave Mack?
Absolutely. It was her. It was people at work that were concerned about her because she never missed work. She always was where she was supposed to be. And when she didn't show up, they couldn't find her anywhere. So they reached out to police.
I'm very, very concerned that police basically say, hey, it'd be a great idea to contact people that know her to make sure she's not really missing. What? Okay, and listen to what he just said on this body cam. Let's see here. She goes, she leaves for 6 months, make a different address, and then we will separate. Well, the last time I got him on body cam, he said something completely different. Listen.
Been like, you know, very good, like, you know, since like 2 months. You know, like before that, you know, one time we have like some arguments because, you know, yeah.
Do you want to grab her?
Yeah.
That's from our friends at WUSA9. Now, wait. He is asked, how's your relationship been in the last few months? And he says, you know, very good. Very good. One time we had an argument before because, you know, and basically gestures toward the baby, like the baby caused a problem. But that was just a few days before the body cam where he says, yeah, we're going to separate and be apart 6 months. And then she was getting a different address and then she just disappeared. Okay, to Dr. John Della Torre. That's why I love body cam video. That's why I love it when a suspect, a person of interest, a witness, is caught in lies. These inconsistencies aren't just mix up. They're diametrically opposed to each other. They cannot both be true.
No, they can't. And I think what we're seeing are elements of coercive control that we see with individuals who commit domestic and intimate partner violence. You know, when Nadia is talking about the phone calls and then not having the phone and then maybe having the phone, potentially there's a separation, but maybe not a separation.
You know, another issue caught on body cam video and caught in interviews, and I love to lay them, which I did for tonight, lay out all the different statements. It takes a long time. And find the inconsistencies. I mean, you know, Wendy Patrick, trying cases is not easy if you want to win. If you want a verdict that speaks the truth. It takes time to comb over literally every word. But Wendy Patrick, I want you to hear this. Are you sitting down? You may need to lay down for this. Listen.
We don't have like any type of that. You know, it was like normal day, like other regular days. Just, you know, like, you know, we were taking care of our babies. It was like very normal. You know, like she wasn't affair at her work. And then she's very like, you know, focused on her work. And then once we know, like, no, she's not at work, then, you know, like that makes very serious to me. And
okay, wait a minute. Whoa. That's from our friends at WUSA9. He just said, Wendy, everything was fine. It was just a normal day. Then she didn't show up for work. That doesn't even make sense. He never called to report her missing. People at work, after days passed, start looking for her.
But he says everything was just normal.
Yeah, that is one of the biggest problems with this statement, Nancy, especially when you look at the way he appears to be so cooperative, but not concerned. Nobody's going to be able to relate to that. Everybody would be absolutely on the phone with police. They'd be going through the, you know, all the phone records and everything if you have a loved one gone missing, especially if there hadn't been any reason to suspect that she was about to leave, which is one of the things he said in that first statement. So yes, you prepare to look at all these inconsistencies, but then after you've done that, you look at what would have been a reasonable interpretation of that kind of a response. If somebody, in fact, didn't come home from a job that they hadn't missed a day, didn't come home to take care of a toddler that they absolutely adored, those are the kinds of behaviors that no one can relate to. So it's one thing to attempt to be cooperative with police. It's quite another to be totally unconcerned and have a story that not only is inconsistent, but absolutely makes no sense.
While the search is on for a missing mom, just 28 years old, when asked, her husband says he's the one who's suffering. It's all about me, 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 me. Listen to this guy.
So I'm the sufferer one. I'm the sufferer. My baby and then myself, you know, like we are suffering the most.
From our friends at WUSA9, Nadia Navarro, did you hear that? He's the one suffering. For all he knows, his wife is dead in a ditch, and he's the one suffering? Is he always like that?
Yeah, it makes you want to give him something to actually suffer about.
I'm just trying to, and I know, Nadia, and I learned this the hard way in court, that why doesn't really matter, but I'm very intrigued with the dynamic of their relationship. What did she see in him? Why did she stay with him if everything is about him? And he keeps talking about, well, she's the nurse. It sounds like he's jealous.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't have any degrees of his own. He couldn't even pass the police academy. He failed that. And I mean, he was working at a gas station before he got the job that he says he had in cybersecurity, which is a certificate. And Mamta is smart and hardworking and much younger than he is. So he knew that under normal circumstances, she's not the kind of person that he would be able to marry. But because it was arranged, and it's their culture, he was able to marry someone beautiful, smart, educated, and she was way out of his league. It made him jealous. It made him feel inferior. And he would do anything he could to make her feel less than. He would comment on her weight. He would compare her to other women. He would compare her to me in front of us.
Compare her to you? Like what?
One time we were doing each other's makeup and Mamta FaceTimed him to show him her makeup. And I was sitting out of the camera, but she just, you know, he was like, oh, did you do Nadia's? And she said yes. And Mamta pulled me over into the screen and he goes, Nadia, you're so beautiful. You're like, an A+. And then he looked at Mamta and he goes, Mamta, you're like a C-.
Nadia, that makes me want to cry.
Yeah. She did cry.
How did she respond when he said that?
She smiled. And they hung up and she ran out of the room and I followed her and she was crying and she told me that it wasn't the first time he said something like that. And I told her that she was beautiful.
Dr. Della Torre, I don't understand that. How? The husband can be so cruel and demeaning to the wife when she's so clearly, as Nadia said, out of his league, way out of his league.
It's gross. It's disgusting. This man is less than human. But this isn't something that's wholly unique. We often see these kinds of comments, these kinds of behaviors from known domestic and intimate partner abusers. We often see these kinds of comments being made by men who believe women are somehow second-class citizens. There's a lot of issues that go on within our society and within each individual that makes them believe that they are somehow better. And if someone, especially a woman, has more power and more agency, then that man is going to do whatever he can to undermine it. This is pretty common domestic and intimate partner violence type issues that needs to be addressed by men towards other men.
July 31st, Naresh Bhatt is caught on camera at a Walmart in Loudoun County purchasing cleaning supplies, carpet cleaner, Lysol disinfectant wipes, and Little Trees air fresheners. He later tells police he last saw Mamta on this date. August 1st, Mamta's phone battery dies. Its last location is in Loudoun County near a body of water. August 2nd, police conduct a welfare check at the Bhatt residence. Naresh Bhatt tells officers that Mamta is visiting a sister in New York or Texas. According to prosecutors, the Commonwealth knows of this being a family friend, not a biological sister, as all of Mamta's family is in Nepal. Naresh Bhatt also tells officers that the couple was in the process of separating.
Okay, right there, Brian Fitzgibbons joining me, Director Operations USPA Nationwide Security. His specialty is finding missing people. How can the phone ping when he said she destroyed her phone?
Yeah, that's a huge inconsistency. So you have Naresh telling police at his door that the last time he saw Mamta was either on Tuesday or Wednesday, the 29th or 30th. All right, now we fast forward and see that her and that she destroyed her phone then. Fast forward August 1st, and this is something that you can't fake. There's a ping in Loudoun County, in Aldi, Virginia, about 15 to 25 miles to the north of Manassas, where we see Mamta's phone appear.
Dave Mack, what can you tell me about a reciprocating saw, a handheld reciprocating?
Well, we know that when investigators had the opportunity to go in and start looking around the home, they found a number of items that jumped out at them. One in particular, though, was a reciprocating saw. This is a saw that you hold with one hand while you hold like a pipe or a PVC pipe or a small limb or something along those lines as you cut. Cuts in a straight line. It would be something that would catch your attention if you're an investigator and you notice that it has something on it that quite possibly may be blood.
To Dr. Kendall Crowns, now joining us, special guest, chief medical examiner, Tarrant County, that's Fort Worth, esteemed lecturer at the Burnett School of Medicine at TCU. Dr. Kendall Crowns, in your line of business, having performed literally thousands of autopsies, you have dealt with handheld reciprocating saws on many occasions. Please advise. Tell us what you can.
So reciprocating saws are used for a number of tasks. They can be used for demolition, cutting through wood, metal pipes. And then they're also used in the meat processing industry where they'll cut through the bones of cattle or deer or whatever you're processing. I have my personal reciprocating saw here at my office. What it is it's a blade. They can come in different shapes and sizes, and then you move back and forth cutting through a tissue or bone or wood or whatever you're cutting through in a very quick manner.
If that were used on Mamta, I would expect a lot of DNA evidence. Why? To be found around the home.
Sure, because these saws are not precision instruments. They're to just cut through things and destroy things. So when the blade is moving through something quickly, it actually will spray wood chips, tissue, blood everywhere. It'll get all over the saw, all over your hands. It'll get in the vents. It'll get everywhere.
Tammy Ballard joining us, crime scene consultant and law enforcement liaison with Othram Labs. She is a DNA criminalist in the San Fran Police Department Crime Lab. Tammy, again, thank you for being with us. To me, that would be a treasure trove for scientists like yourself, crime scene analysts. Why is it people still think in this day and age that just because they can't see blood spatter or mist with the naked eye, that you, Tammy Ballard, can't find it? What would you expect to find in this home?
Well, first of all, I'm glad that they don't think about that, so that it makes my job easier when I am looking for something. So generally something that's left behind can be either visibly detected, or if we can use something like luminol, some sort of chemical agent that can show where they've tried to clean up, that's usually used in a situation like this. So it's great evidence potential, and I can't really ever think of a scene where I didn't find something left behind. So cleaning up is very, very difficult. Unless you come from a DNA background, you're probably going to leave something behind.
Tammy, where do you find DNA? What spots do you find it where a perp typically thinks he's cleaned it all up? Where can it actually be found?
I actually worked a case like this for several years until we found our victim floating in the jetty in San Diego. I did carpet analysis. I did analysis from all kinds of items in the house. And generally, so in that situation, they got a carpet cleaner. You're pushing that blood down. Blood is very hard to get rid of. It wicks into different, fabrics and materials. So you can find it pretty much everywhere. And as has already been mentioned, that's a really messy tool. So you're going to have things going all over the place that not everybody is going to think of, unless this is your normal job to find these kinds of things. Things on the ceiling from these types of crimes, they just generally gets overlooked. Things down low to the ground, like I said, wicking and things in the carpet. These are all great places to find something, even if they think that they've cleaned it up.
Spoke to the husband. It appears they're going through a divorce, and she left and went to New York.
She's not at the work.
Her employer called and just called us to check if she was okay. So that's why we're here. We don't mean to bother you.
No, that's fine. She's supposed to be there. You know, usually, like, I don't know. I cannot check, you know, like, where she goes.
Okay.
To Nadia Navarro joining us. Nadia, a very dear friend of Momta's. Number one, where is baby Nima right now?
She's with family and very close friends.
What do you make, Nadia, of the fact that Momta has not been found?
I think that Naresh did a lot of reading and a lot of research. And by the time that people were looking, the police were looking, you know, the trash, the dumpsters, they had already been taken away and, I guess, incinerated. I know it would be really, really hard to find her at this point.
When you see, for instance, Dr. Kendall Crowns holding up a reciprocating saw and think of Momta, what goes through your mind?
I can't imagine. It's overwhelming. It's too much.
Nadia, I want to find her. I want to find even part of her. Because after what Dave Mack and Tammy Ballard and Dr. Kendall Crowns have told us, I am now convinced that Momta was murdered and dismembered. And all I can do now is try to find whatever is left of her for Nima, so that someday Nima will have a grave to go to or an urn to hold on to. That's all Nima will ever have of her mother. And she won't have that if we can't find Momta.
We all are desperate to find her. We've been desperate since we knew she was gone. I've been out of my mind since I knew that she was gone. I couldn't have ever fathomed something like this. I did think he hurt her, not like this.
Did she ever have a fear, Nadia, that he would kill her?
She was so trusting, and she saw the good in everybody. So no, she wouldn't have. She always thought that he was, and she maintained that she loved him and that she saw good in him.
At this hour, the husband, Naresh Bhatt, has been charged with murder, although legal eagles say it'll never stick without a body. If you know or think you know anything, a sighting, something he said, anything to help us find Mamta, please dial 703-361-1136. Repeat, 703-361-1136. We wait as justice unfolds. Goodbye, friend. This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.